Welcome to the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. My name is Paul, and I am your host. Hey, sorry it's been a little longer of a break between our last episode and this one than we usually like to have, but we are very excited about our next three episodes as we are going to be talking about issues surrounding the next generation, talking about our teens, our students, our children, our young adults, and the issues that they are dealing with specifically as they are going forward and as they are endeavoring to have a vibrant relationship with God. We have three great guests joining us around a table, Pastor Louis Kifan, Pastor Emily DeRuyter, and Pastor Nathan Paul, who all work on the Broadway Church Next Gen staff. They're going to give us some helpful insights into dealing with our next gens, with our students. If you're listening and you're a parent, you're going to appreciate this. If you're listening and you're a caregiver or an auntie or someone who has a vested interest in someone who's a student or a young adult, you're going to appreciate hearing the wisdom coming from these three leaders. So let's jump into our discussion here on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. Well, here we are, guys. We're having a conversation today about leading in the next generation. And I was thinking along this topic, and I was thinking about being a parent. And I was thinking back when I was young, and I used to go to my grandma's house quite a bit. And she would babysit for my parents while they were working, and I would go to her house. And she never wanted me to watch the TV, and she never wanted me to sit on the furniture in the living room because she thought it would wear it out. Don't turn that TV on because you're going to wear it out. Don't sit on that couch because it's going to wear it out. And sometimes I think that's the way we approach children as parents or as Christians. We think that we're too afraid to harm them. We're too afraid to wound them. We're too afraid of all of these things and the boogeyman of all these things that are going on in society. And so we kind of step back and we're so timid, or we do the reverse and we try and offload all of that important work to only the church, which is also probably detrimental. So today I wanted us to have a conversation about how we can do better in that area as the church. And so I think you three of you that are here today are going to do a great job in leading us through that conversation. We have Pastor Louis Kifan, who is our Next Gen Director and Overseer at Broadway Church. We have Pastor Nathan Paul, who is our youth pastor, and Pastor Emily DeRuyter, who is our children's pastor. And so over the next few minutes, we're going to have a great conversation about how we can do this part of the church and as parents and as leaders better. And so, Louis, I wanted to start with you. And I know that my path to ministry in some ways is very traditional. You know, I grew up in the church. I went to youth group. I felt this, you know, call on my life at a youth conference. And then I went forward and I responded to God. And then when I got out of high school, I had a couple of wandering years. And then I went to Bible school. And then I went into ministry. But I know that all three of you around this table have had more of an untraditional path to ministry. And over this time together, we're going to talk to each one of you about that. But Louis, why don't we start with you? Why don't you describe your path to ministry? What's the journey from, you know, when you're born to how you got here?
From when I was born.
Well, hey, let's start. If there's something interesting way back there, let's go.
Well, I was born into...
Congratulations.
Thank you. So my dad's Romanian, okay. My mom's Italian. So they both came here to Canada, met here. And actually, when I was about 5 years old, my dad began in our home a Romanian-speaking church. And so I grew up going to a Romanian-speaking church, three-hour-long service on a Sunday afternoon. It felt like 10 hours because it wasn't in English. Mm-hmm. And actually, I hated it. In fact, we actually rented our Broadway Church Port Coquitlam campus for a number of years. So I grew up going to church in that very building. But I hated going to church. It was a fight with my family, with my parents every single week. And I just did not like it.
So you almost seems like you'd be the least likely person to be sitting around a table talking about ministry ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. It's by God's grace, really. Okay. But interestingly enough, my parents always said, you know, Louis, if you feel a call to go into pastoral ministry, we would totally support you. Even growing up, my parents planted seeds in my life and saying things like, if you feel a call to go into full-time pastoral ministry, we support that. We would love for that to happen. So they always kind of fanned that flame, even though I hated going to church. In fact, I haven't even asked them this, but maybe they saw something in me growing up that, you know, they saw a little hint of that. So basically, when I was in high school, I went to a Christian high school as well. I went to Pacific Academy in Surrey.
Go Breakers.
Yes, I played on the Breakers basketball and soccer teams. I grew up, or I had a group of friends where we were all kind of in the same boat. At that time, around grade 10, grade 11, we were all going to churches that we didn't like going to. One of those friends was Simon, Pastor Simon. And so basically, a number of us, we went on a missions trip in grade 11 to Guatemala. And it was through Pacific Academy. From that missions trip, we formed a really tight-knit group of friends. And Simon and I were both on that team and a number of other people. And we decided from that year, really, we had this bond, and we were praying and seeking God for a while. And we thought, you know what? We all come from churches that we don't enjoy going to. Let's start our own church.
Wow.
And that's what we did. We had a mentor. His name's Rick Ellis and his wife, Tammy. And basically, that was grade 11. And throughout our grade 12 year, we were planning and praying about starting a church. And when we graduated grade 12, that September, actually, was the kickoff of what we called Youth Church. So it was a church that we ran as young people for our friends, is essentially what it was. And it doesn't seem very groundbreaking right now. But back then, 2002, which was a long time ago, youth ministry didn't look like what youth ministry looks like now. Youth ministry, if you ran a service in your youth ministry, that was like, I mean, you were the creme de la creme, right? Mm-hmm. It was a lot more ice cream socials and, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So we ran a service every week, and it was quite groundbreaking at the time for our little area that we ran it in Surrey. And we just started inviting people, and we saw God's favor baptizing people. And so my call to ministry, I was part of that plant, and I was actually going to go, I was taking a gap year after high school, and I was going to go into teaching. I wanted to be a PE teacher, because that's what every athlete wants to be. We all want to be PE teachers.
I guess you were an athlete then, what you're claiming.
I played sports.
Okay.
I'm not going to say how good or how bad I was.
But I'm also an athlete.
There you go.
Thank you, fellow athlete.
Yes. And so that was the plan. And during my gap year, I actually coached at a public high school in Surrey. And when I coached on that team, five of the people on that team actually came to Youth Church and gave their lives to Christ.
Now, I've heard you tell that story before, and I know how key a moment that coaching experience was. What was so important? I mean, obviously, five people gave their heart to Christ, that's of eternal significance. But why was that moment so shaping in what you're doing today?
Well, it was interesting because with journeying alongside those five individuals, one of them was an atheist, one was a Buddhist, one didn't really know what they believed, one came from, you know, a Catholic type of background. So they were a spectrum of people. And I saw how God got a hold of their lives and totally transformed their lives. And there was a moment when I was sitting at McDonald's, the McDonald's on 152nd and 104 in Guilford, mm-hmm. across from the mall. And I was going through the book of Mark with one of these individuals. And she's like, "What's a Pharisee?" You know, I'm like, "Well, let me tell you." And I was explaining, you know, and I saw how God grabbed a hold of their lives. And I literally said to myself, "This is what I want to do with my life."
Wow.
I want to tell people about God.
Now, I want to go back to something you said a little bit earlier. You were talking about your friends, and how a lot of your friends had a similar story where you were going to a church that you didn't really enjoy. Now, Pastor Nathan, you're spending time with our students week after week, leading the youth ministries and overseeing the youth ministries of Broadway Church. Is that a common thing that you hear? Now, don't be afraid to be honest here. You know, like, all types of people are going to be listening to this, but let's be honest. Like, do you think that our students have a hard time with either the style or what we've surrounded church, what we've made church to be? How difficult is it for them?
Yeah, I think that a lot of youth groups are set up in a way to really appeal to students, and there's games, and it's a fun time, and then they can come on a Sunday and be like, where's the games? And this isn't as fun as youth group was. And so I've seen just within a lot of churches, and this has happened at Broadway as well at times, where there's like a disconnect between the youth ministry and the church, where church is kind of seen as this place where adults go, and you know, it's when I'm older I get to go there. And what we've seen at Broadway is just a way to get students more involved in church and getting them excited is to allow them to be a part of it and to use their gifts and their talents and their abilities on the tech team and in the worship band and all that stuff. And I know part of Lewis's story is just a feeling of like, you know, you guys can do stuff when you're older, but you're not going to be a part of the church until then. And so what we're seeing with our students is we want to see them take ownership within the church and getting them on teams and getting them serving and in missions trips. And it's not something that's going to happen, you know, once you're old enough. Mm-hmm. And when they get involved, we see just a level of getting bought into church and what God is doing in their lives and in the lives of their friends. But if it's only just a spectacle to come out on a Friday night for youth group and there's no connection to the greater church, then it hurts that transition out of high school into young adulthood.
Now, Emily, I want to give you a chance to jump in here if you want, because I know what Nathan is saying is, hey, ministry isn't just for adults, it's for youth too. But I know that you feel that kids, that it's for them too. It's like, hey, don't forget us. It's just because we're a little bit younger and we don't have our learner's permits or, you know, we can't drink coffee at Timber Bistro or whatever. But you feel passionately about kids being involved in ministry. You want to speak to that?
Absolutely. And I've always been a firm believer that leadership starts right from the beginning. So I do it at home with my own girls, of just building them up. And it's not about what you want to be when you grow up. It's what can you do today? And so we also transfer that just into kids ministry too, of God has a purpose and plan for you. And it's for today. It's not just for later on. It's not just for when you're grown up, but you have the ability to serve. You have the ability to be the hands and feet of Jesus, at 2 years old, at 3 years old, at 4 years old, at 10 years old. It just might look different.
Beautiful. Well, let's get into some of these questions that we wanted to kind of work through in discussing issues around Next Gen Ministry. And one that comes to the forefront is churches having a strategy to help children and students through issues of mental health. I know that when I was a kid, I remember somebody in our youth group taking their life and feeling like it was just such a powerfully sad moment that nobody had any sort of frame of reference to deal with. It was just, death was dropped into the middle of our youth group. And I know that today we have the day we honor in the early part of the year, which is the mental health day that gets so much traction in the media. I know that we talk about it and we have mental health workers in our high schools now. And it just seems to be something that probably was always an issue with teens and young adults, or teens and kids, but now we have a strategy for dealing with it. Where is the church at when it comes to dealing with issues of mental health? What do you think is, do we have a strategy? Is this overblown? Do we just need to pray this all away? What do you think? Pastor Lewis, you want to start us out there?
Yeah, well, it's a real thing. In fact, we had a student in our youth ministry this past year that passed away in largely in part to mental health issues. So it's real. And so in my experience, it comes up not only in the students, but also in your leaders, your leadership team with some of the young adults and stuff. And the best advice that I got, and this is kind of how we approach it as a church, one of my youth leaders, she came on for a few years, and her name's Betsy. Betsy, if you're listening to this, you shaped how we do things around here. She's a counselor. And we had a number of students dealing with suicidal thoughts, cutting, that type of thing, which unfortunately it's quite normal is not the right word.
Pervasive.
Yes, and common these days. And so, you know, the students would be calling our leaders at all times of the night, and I'd be getting phone calls and stuff. What, you know, help me, what can I do? I'm having these thoughts. And I talked to Betsy. I'm like, okay, you're a counselor. Tell me here. How are we supposed to be approaching this? And she said this. She said, their families, their mom and their dad, need to be their first point of contact. They need to be that person they call, not the youth leader, but their mom that's down the hall or their dad that's down the hall. So there has to be a healthy family dynamic there. We need to put the ball back into the parents' court mm-hmm. and back into the family's court. And so when we work with students that have mental health struggles, we try to bring, as best we can, the parents into the conversation. Mm-hmm. And that involves talking to the student and saying, listen, this is our strategy. The people that are going to walk through this with you the most and for the next many years, perhaps, are your parents, not your youth leader. They can be a help, but your first call needs to be your parents. So we try to partner the student and the parent and to get them both on the same page. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting in, you know, minivans with parents and saying, listen, your son or your daughter is going through this and they know that I'm telling you this. And we need to be on the same page. Don't be angry when they tell you they're cutting themselves.
Right.
Because how you come across is going to be very important here. Mm-hmm. And so it's building that bridge between mm-hmm. the parent and the student.
Okay, so that brings up something interesting there. You're talking about the bridge. So Lewis, in your history and Nathan in what you're doing now, how easy is it to build that bridge with a parent? How receptive is a parent to be entered into something? Maybe the anxiety or the fear that their kid's feeling is something that's motivated of something that's going on in the home. And so then it's not just, this is my kid's problem. This is something that's systemic and the dysfunction is quite deep. How have you found that relationship with parents and that bridge that you've been able to build?
Well, yeah, I think it really depends on the home they come from. Mm-hmm. If they're a family that comes to the church every Sunday, that's a lot easier. You know, you're seeing them around in the service, you're connecting with them. You probably have a better relationship with them. It is trickier when they don't come from a Christian home or their parents attend a different church, or your only point of contact with that family is through that student. And there are a number of ways that you can try and build a relationship. And one of those ways is that you can host like parent conferences or seminars, which I know Emily does a lot and she is a huge proponent of and pushes for that. And that's a way that you can connect with them. But it is just about recognizing different ways and different opportunities to build those bridges in any way that you can. But I think every parent wants to have more resources on how to parent their child. Every parent wants to have more adults who are better influences on their kids around them. And so I think if you offer those opportunities, parents will take you up on those. Mm-hmm. And even asking them out for coffee or lunch, just trying to get to know them and bragging about their kid to them mm-hmm. as well really helps a lot. Every parent mm-hmm. wants to hear how Johnny did such a good job preaching. And mm-hmm. and again, this kind of comes back to getting students involved. Like if the student's involved, you in the youth ministry or in the church, we just had a couple students preach at youth over the past year. And just through that, I'm emailing their parent and I'm building connections with them through there as well.
Great. The next question that I kind of wanted to throw out there is this idea of transitioning our children well from ministry to ministry. There's been, we're very good at saying, you know, here's where our kids' ministry begins and ends, right? And here's where our youth ministry begins and ends. And is that really beneficial to have these hard and fast, you know, walls and boundaries around these different areas? What's the method there? What's the strategy there? Because we certainly want people to go from, you know, if we do have these fenced off areas, we want to get them from this fenced off area to that fenced off area, but sometimes it's the problem that there's a fence in between, right? And so tell me, what is the strategy for the youth ministry here at Broadway? And maybe there's a pastor listening who's struggling with this issue right in the moment, that they have a great youth ministry and they have great kids ministry, but it's just kind of trying to get that transition piece between ministries. Why don't you guys speak to that?
So we don't do this exceptionally well. This is always a work in progress for us, and I think we would all probably admit that. So it's hard to do, first of all. So what we've tried to do, and especially now, actually, I would think we're probably more intentional now than we've probably ever been. We don't do hard and fast lines of, okay, once you're 9, you're totally kicked out of kids ministry, and you know you're in there's some overlap years that we do. So there's some overlap from youth to preteens. There's overlap from preteen to youth. So if you're a preteen, if you're an older preteen, you can choose to go to preteens, or you can choose to go to youth, or you can choose to go to both, if you like. And same with youth to young adult, and young adult to adult. So there's some overlap, but there has to be intentional pushing up from the younger ministries and pulling up from the older ministries. And so that's kind of what we've learned. And so our preteen pastor, for example, at both of our campuses, they'd have a hand in our kids ministry and a hand in our youth ministry. And so they're kind of bridging that gap. And same with youth to young adults. So we try to overlap it as much as possible.
It's funny, as you're doing that, the picture I got was, you know, a hand in youth ministry, a hand in kids ministry, being the bridge. Well, bridges get walked on a lot.
Yes.
You know, they get driven over, they get tire marks on them, right? Yeah. And so all that to say that it's a really crucial connection also from one area to another area. Bridges are important that way. And so that's what makes the job maybe tricky. That makes what makes the job really important. Pastor Emily, as you have from our kids ministry, kind of maybe as the origin of this transition, you're the first stop on the bus. How has it been for you helping kids transition out of children's ministry up to preteen? Is that seamless? Is that easy? Is it hard? How have you found it?
So we actually had a conversation a few months ago. Our kids ministry, preteen ministry, youth, and young adults. And we all got together because we all felt like we could do this better. And so we've put some things in place, and just like what Lewis said, where we actually have like transition times to better help them, prepare them for when they go to the next step. We're also trying to make the next step more exciting to them. We view our ministries as all being awesome on the same line, but we want it to appear to them that the next step is more awesome. And so that's kind of been a goal. And so, yeah, we're starting with that kids ministry and building those relationships with those parents so that, again, that's another connection that will help us with the bridge. And just like on a tangible level, we put preteens under kids ministry so that we have more of a cohesive time because, like statistically speaking, we lose a lot of kids in that preteen age. So how can we transition them well and make it so that they still feel connected and they enjoy coming to church and they love to be there. And so that's been our challenge. And so we are trying to, just get better at that. And we've already seen some improvements just even coming back in person with that.
Yeah, I just want to add on to that. You know, we talk about fences and like, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? And I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, like don't silo in ministry and it shouldn't just be the youth ministry over here and then the kids ministry over there. And while fences can become an obstacle, I think the having separate ministries and having different styles, I mean, I think that's amazing. And, you know, that what Emily was talking about, like getting excited about the next one is great. But what we do really well at Broadway is that all of our, if there are silos, all of our silos are talking to each other. Like there's so much unity, there's so much connection between our staff that it makes a transition less stressful for a child. So for example, our preteen pastor is one of our youth leaders. And our young adults pastor is one of our youth leaders. And me as the youth pastor, I'm one of the young adult small group leaders. And so we're all got our hands in each other's ministries. And so we know what each other are doing. So it's not just I'm running my youth ministry here. And then when they all graduate, suddenly Pastor Spencer here, try to catch as many as you can. He already knows the grade 12s that are there. He's building connections with them already. And it's a kind of a seamless transition. And so while fences could become a problem, if the different ministries are connected and it is a one team mission, it makes that transition just so much easier and so much more seamless.
So let's try and make it even one step easier now. Let's let you guys have been trying to be very intentional in this transition time. What does the parent need to know in this transition time? What do you want parents to know about these seasons as you're, you know, that grade five-ish time and that grade eight, nine-ish time where there's these they're transitioning from being children to being gangly, you know, apprentice teenagers, and then they're going into actually being people with SIM cards and bus passes. What do parents need to know? Equip the parent in that for those transition times. What do you think?
I would say, one, realize that they're taking that next step. So, as much as you still view them as a child, they don't view themselves as a child. Mm-hmm. So remember that, especially when hormones come in. But also make it a priority to serve together and to make church a priority. And I think that's a huge thing. And so if you've made it a priority the whole time being to kids, then you're just going to also be like, is excited for them to go to that next phase and be excited and say, oh, I heard this, or like get them on board that way. And I think just also letting them have a little bit of independence. So it looks like they have more independence probably than they do, but letting them have the independence of like, we do these really cool like preteen nights and just like making those things a priority, because then they feel like they have ownership over their ministry versus kids ministry. It's not exactly the same at that phase, whereas preteens is kind of that like growth step. So I would say to parents to like let them go a little bit so that they can grow in their own faith.
I'll just add one more thing to coach a parent. If you're a parent and you're listening and you have a kid in any one of these phases, whether they be they're on the fence ready to jump into the next pen or not, if you feel like your child is not being reached out to enough by one of the pastors, whether you go to Broadway or not, or not, they don't have enough connection with the youth leader or kids leader or whatever, tell the whoever's leading that ministry, tell them. Mm-hmm. Tell us. That's valuable information. In fact, Nathan sends out a monthly email to parents, and at the bottom of the email it says, if you would like me to take your son or daughter out for coffee, and we won't tell them you asked, ask me to do that, and we'll do that. It just reach out. Don't just let it fester if something is bothering you.
I just want to speak to that grade 12 transition year, because that's, I mean, you read youth ministry articles, that's the year that we usually lose students in, and they walk away from the faith. And one of the biggest reasons has to do with just busyness and school, and they're starting this whole new journey. And I've found that students who coming to church is just kind of like something that their family has done all the time, or it's just more of like an attraction that they go to, but they're not involved, they're not plugged in. And those are the ones that are the first to leave. And if I could give any advice to parents, it's just putting an emphasis on the importance of church, and the importance of having community and having a time where you're worshiping with other Christ followers. It's so key. I remember several years ago, a parent came up to me and she's just in tears, and she's just saying, you know, it was her grade 11, grade 12 son who she said, you know, he just doesn't care about God, and you know, I don't know what to do. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't want to come to church, any of that stuff. And I remember just thinking, I'm pretty sure I've only seen you here at church like two times in the last year. And I thought, of course he doesn't care about church, because you're demonstrating that church isn't that important. And one of the best things you can do for your child is they're watching you and they're seeing as they graduate, as they finish grade 12 and they're starting their adult life, they're starting to question, like, is this church thing even important? And if you've modeled through your consistency that, you know, well, we'll sleep in this week, or we'll go to church every once a month or once every 2 months, what you're showing them is that church really isn't a priority. It doesn't really matter. And so when they start having assignments and essays and all of these stuff with school, that's going to be one of the first things that they get rid of in their life.
I found this so helpful so far, listening to Pastor Lewis, Pastor Emily and Pastor Nathan discuss these issues of next gen and our students. Being a father myself, this has been really helpful and enlightening. And hopefully for you as a parent or a grandparent or a caregiver of a student, that this has been very helpful for you too. So we're going to continue this conversation next month and again the following month, listening to how to equip our next gen students to know God even better, how to interact with them, and how to love them the best that we can. So thank you so much for listening to the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast this month. A big shout out to Grant, our audio engineer, who also wrote the cool jingle you hear at the beginning and the end of this podcast. Remember, we do this podcast because when it comes to leadership, that'll do just won't do. Hopefully, we will see you again next month.